post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. Yeah, we're talking football across Australia on the Australian Community Radio Network. Michelle Bertrand, our wonderful host, is out playing football tonight, so she won't be with us. Fitzam Haptamaryan, you're here as ever, Fitzam. Welcome to you.
Thanks, Eamon. How are you going?
Not too bad at all. And we've got Australia's greatest ever football import, Russell Gibbs. Russ Gibbs rings me every week and tells me how many goals he scores in Division 9 of whatever league he plays in. Welcome to you, Russ.
Yeah, I'm high quality there, Eamon. Yeah, I'm well up there with the A-League boys.
That's it. So don't let them talk about Brazilians and Argentinians. We're talking to British-born, English-born.
Yeah, lazy English strikers. That's what you need.
Olympic gold medal champion, British. Russ Gibbs. Okay. So what have we got coming up in the show tonight, Fitzam?
We've got coming up in the first half hour, we hear from the 442 editor Paul Hansford and women's under 17 coach and new Newcastle Jets W League coach Gary Phillips. And as normal, we've got the big issue, quiz dedication, and more.
We've got heaps. And if you want to contact us on the email, you can, nearpost2xx@gmail.com. Catch the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com. And from next week, we're expecting to be streamed across Australia. So we'll give you more details next week, but you'll be able to check it on the website. And we're going to dedicate the show this week to, I'm going to say, Australia's greatest ever free kick taker.
That's a big rap.
It's a big rap. But I can't think of anybody who's perhaps... there's not too many out there that are...
Not free kicks, no.
Who's the guy that did the one in the World Cup? Was that against Croatia? That was a free kick, wasn't it? Was it Craig Moore?
Yeah, that was a penalty, Russ.
No, which was a free kick? Was the other goal? I can't remember.
Kiel scored the other one.
Oh, yes, he did. Have a think about it.
We'll come back to you. Shannon Cole, fantastic free kick on the weekend. Now, the quiz question this week to our two wonderful hosts, Russ and Fitzam. Name all the A-League coaches.
From Perth Glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne Victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post. Going coast to coast.
Okay, so there you go, Russ. Name all the eight coaches, or between you. Off you go.
John Cosmina.
Oh, fantastic.
That's a good start. Gary Van Egmond, Laurie McKinnon.
Oh, you're on roll. Three.
I'll let him have it.
Go, keep going.
I'm joined now by 442 editor Paul Hansford.
I should have put the timer on you.
You should have. That's four.
John Mitchell.
Yes.
Not John Mitchell. Mitchell.
Dave Mitchell from Perth.
Dave, John, yeah, we know who you are.
Ernie Merrick.
That's
from Melbourne,
six to go.
Six. I can't remember which teams we've
got. You don't even know what team we've got. So many teams in the league.
Frank Farina from Queensland.
And the last one, have we done Adelaide?
I don't think we have.
Aurelio Vidmar.
Okay, we've got them all. Okay, fantastic. That's why you're on the show, because you know everything.
Just wait till next week.
Okay. We've got some news coming up. Okay, let's... rip through the news there. Shannon Cole scored a wonderful free kick for Sydney on the weekend.
Ben Kantrowski, at age of 16, debuted. He's a first player since Mark Viduka to debut at the age of 16, I think.
That was last week's news, actually. The Roosters and Sydney FC are offering a joint ticket on the coming week for the Roosters game on Friday and Sydney FC's Sunday game. Interesting addition. Archie Thompson and Nicky Ward and Michael Theocletus are back to play this weekend, so that'll put some pressure on Ernie's selection. Canberra, the new A-League team, has over 550 foundation members 2 years out from their hoped debut. Not bad when you consider the Mariners started with only 600 on match day one in season one. Overseas news?
We've also got Harry Kiel scored his first goal for Galatasaray last weekend.
He did. He also scored in his league debut. Socceroos, will Mark Milligan be back in Australia? He doesn't seem to have picked up a club. And Trent McLennan and James Troisi don't seem to have clubs yet either, for that matter. Last week, Socceroos drew 2-2 with South Africa. And they play Holland in 10 days' time, and the squad will be announced on Wednesday tomorrow. Scott McDonald already out injured. W League news. It's all me, Fitzam, I think.
Shel Salisbury is going to be the coach, captain for the Jets, the Women's League.
She certainly is. And the coach of the Newcastle Jets side is going to be Gary Phillips, who's also the under-17 coach. And we'll hear from him in a little bit. His young under-17 side lost 4-3 to an overage Japanese side in Canberra this week. And a women's coach. A women's coach for the W League. Now, that's an amazing concept. Nicola Williams, who's one of the four scholarship coaching development officers with the FFA. She's actually going to lead the side from Western Australia. That's what I've heard. And the boys. The under-20 Socceroos are in Japan for SBS three-game tour. Not SBS the TV station, but SBS some Japanese company. And they're preparing for their World Cup qualifiers in the UAE in November. So, a bit of a monologue for me, Fitzman, but there you go. All right. Okay, we're going to talk A-League now. First of all, we'll just go through the scores on the weekend. Russ, just rip through the scores for us, right?
Yeah, Perth Glory and Newcastle Jets. That was a Friday night game. Finished 3-3. Saturday, Central Coast Mariners 2, Sydney FC 3. Absolute cracking game there. And the two matches on Sunday, Wellington Phoenix 2, Melbourne Victory 4. A bit of a rainstorm in Wellington. And Queensland Raw 1, Adelaide United 1. So packed full of goals on the weekend.
Heaps of goals. Okay, let's talk. We're going to talk Sydney Central Coast to get going. What are your thoughts on the game? And what are your thoughts, I suppose? Well, let's go Central Coast first of all, because everybody tends to go to Sydney or Melbourne when they start these discussions. Central Coast, they're outside the top four. And they've had three great seasons. They're looking in some trouble this year. What do you think?
Yeah, they seem to be struggling playing the short balls. I think they gave the game away. They should have won that with so close to the end. They gave a free kick away. A bit of discipline issues, I guess. Central Coast being my team, I expect a bit more.
They need Milo Jedinak back. I mean, Brad Porter gave away the penalty in the last few minutes last week and lost just 2 points for them, I guess. If he comes back, that would tighten up. I mean, Sydney romped with them, didn't? I mean, they played with them, they toyed with them in the first few minutes, like passing around between Brosk,
Bridge and
Corica. We're not used to that from Sydney, are we?
No, I think they're impressively playing well. They're playing well. They're passing the nice possession game is going well from Sydney, and I think on the day Petrovsky did well for Central Coast to get them close to winning a game, but yeah, they gave it away.
I think they conceded, Central Coast point of view, they conceded a couple of soft goals early on. The way they toyed with them for that second goal, I mean, any one of three players could have put it away before Corica eventually did. But there was some neat interplay from Sydney. And as you said, I think it was only Petrovsky's ability in the area.
I just wondered whether Milo Jedinak would have let them toy around like that in the penalty area.
No, I'm sure he would have cleaned up someone and just...
Somebody somewhere. And the same with... So I think he'll be... they need to get him back and quick.
Definitely. I think it's also that... I'm sure you know at any level that once you score a goal, that's a time that you got to watch out. And they gave pretty much... within a couple of minutes, Sydney scored after... Central Coast scored a penalty.
Sydney FC on the break. Obviously, they've actually got a different player with Mark Bridge up front. They were able to bring in Alex Bruce Corica. We're not used to Corica having more than one player in front of him.
No, Corica's actually running himself as well. He's doing a lot of running, which is impressive.
I think it's going to make a big difference having Mark Bridge in the team.
It seems to have so far, yeah.
Shannon Cole on the left. What do we think about Shannon Cole?
Absolutely fantastic. I think all the new faces that Sydney have brought in at the moment, they've brought a fresh impetus to a club which was stagnating a little bit from last season. And when you think of a couple of players they've got to come in as well, they're a big bet this season. Sydney,
that's right.
They're playing some good football. And Shannon Cole, what can you say?
I mean, well, I will say this. I don't think he can defend for Toffee.
No, I think that's what I was going to say. I thought he got outdone by a couple of the players like Elrich. And I think a couple of times he tried to tackle where he... wasn't very successful. Definitely, he likes to run with the ball as well.
But the free kick, I mean, we haven't seen many free kicks. Joel Griffiths scored a few. To see a free kick like that, and the weekend before he did another free kick that hit the post, it's fantastic. In his second game, I mean, the confidence is great, isn't it?
Definitely, he's happy to pick up a ball and put his hand up to take a free kick. And the first game he did that, he hit the post, and the second game he scores. So definitely, there's some ability in him being able to take free kicks.
So of the two sides, Central Coast, Sydney, we've seen a couple of games now. Who do you think will finish higher in the table out of those two?
I think Sydney FC. I've got a slight feeling this could be their year again this year.
It's exciting times because Sydney, a big club, obviously, potentially, and down at the other end towards the other end of the country, Melbourne, they seem to have put a bit together as well. Queensland, Adelaide, any thoughts on That game, Charlie Miller. Come on. He's round. He's
we bagged him last week.
Yeah, we'll bag him. We'll bag him again.
I love Charlie Miller. I mean,
if you love Charlie Miller.
He keeps coming up with the goods and he keeps scoring the goals. What can you say?
He does. Look, I'm a fanatical Celtic fan, but he's looking good, isn't he, old Charlie? You know, he's sort of he's got a bit of humour. He's taking it well. He's got a bit of stick. But look, he's going to be a character and he's going to add something to the league. And he's scoring goals, even if you know what I mean. I think he ran out of pace on the weekend. He just stretched his foot out. But
you can see, I think, when the ball's coming to him or when he's got possession of the ball, he knows what to do with it. And that's a lot less we can say about other players being able to do that. So well, I think he's doing well.
Manny Mackay and Maximo Mudoka, you know, they run around a lot and they're good players. But Miller doesn't run, but he's got that something that they perhaps.
He makes the ball do the work, which is what you want your players to be able to do.
And when he gets in, he's got that composure and a bit more calmness. So Manny Mackay on the weekend, he had a couple of good chances again, but he snatches a lot of his shots.
He does.
And Charlie, I think it's just that bit more experience.
Charlie doesn't know about the you know, the Queensland jinx, you know, that you're not supposed to score at home.
It'll be interesting to see how Charlie goes with his fitness when it gets a bit warmer.
What, when it gets to 15 degrees? Yeah.
Especially, I mean, it probably his plan is to work from the midfield, and if you've got someone like Van Dijk and Ronaldo up front, will do a lot of the work. If he keeps pumping the ball to them, I think, and which he seems to be able to do, the big cross-field passes.
They've got, Robbie Cruz to come back. He hasn't played yet. And, I mean, I think he scored a lot of goals and also, more importantly, created a lot of goals. They've got a lot of... There's a bit more depth to some of these teams. Like Sydney have got a bit more depth with Aloisi and Mitchell Prentice to come in. Oh, we must talk about Stuart Mishola.
I'm not very impressed by him. I think...
Idiot.
Cosmina would try to make an excuse for him because of... the letdown, emotional letdown, he called it, because of the Olympics. But
I thought the Yolleru's campaign was good, according to the FFA.
Well, you know, the tackle that he came in with, first of all, he had no right to get up and complain about.
But even more importantly, as a professional footballer, he should be fined week's wages, isn't it? Because, I mean, basically, he could have lost the game for them.
Oh, yeah.
And just swearing at the referee, I mean, you know. I think, I mean, he had a few problems at the end of last season in Newcastle. There's a few rumours going around, and maybe, you know...
Well, that's why he wanted a new start, but you can't have a new start and a new team in the same old story, so...
Now he's out. Suspended already?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we won't be too hard on him, will we? Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we will.
Well, they need to lift the standard. Okay, we're going to talk about next week's fixtures later on in the show, and we'll profile Melbourne and the Newcastle game particularly. Coming up now, we have... have an interview with... Gary Phillips. Gary Phillips is the former NSL player and also coach of the Australian under-17 women's team. Gary's got the women training, and most of the players are about under-15, and they played the Japanese under-17 side, I think. And so there's an age differential there. They got beaten 4-3, but Gary wasn't too concerned. This is what he had to say.
I'm joined now by 442 editor Paul Hansford. Paul, your magazine's been going in Australia now 3 years this month, and what sort of changes have you seen in that time?
Oh, it's been phenomenal. I think if you look back to when our first issue, November 2005, dated, I think it came out in October. And at that point, you know, Australia was still standing on the precipice with one game to go for World Cup qualification. The A-League was just a few rounds old. And, you know, it was a real turning point for Australian football in those early months when we were going. And, you know, we've been riding the football wave ever since, and you know, I'd like to think that in our own sort of small way we've helped keep that wave going as well with the content that we've been dedicated to both Australian and world football across the web and the magazine.
I would say definitely talking to the fans that I speak to, Paul, that you have kept that wave going. Where do you see it going in the next few years?
Oh, look, the sky's the limit. I mean, football's, you know, growing steadily. You look at the numbers and the expansion from the FFA point of view with the A-League and you know, World Cup qualification possibly coming up, an Asian Cup. So, you know, we just see ourselves as a, you know, as a complementary product for the fans to take as they're enjoying their football. And I think as you know, the way the A-League's marketed, you know, it's very youthful and vibrant. You know, it's the kind of, you know, 14 to 35 year old demographic that they're going for. And I think, you know, as those 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds kind of grow up with football as part of their sporting landscape, hopefully they'll be 442 as that as well. And, you know, we can continue to grow and provide football fans with, you know, good in-depth quality football journalism.
And you certainly do follow the issues that the fans are interested in. At the moment, Aidan Norman is, I suppose, following the Graham Arnold story. A lot of fans are talking about him. Disappointed with the Ollie Roos in the Beijing Olympics, and you're not shying away from that one.
No, I mean, it's a fine line with Arnie, because Arnie's taken a lot of stick, and I think, you know, some of the attacks on him, you know, aren't right. They're very personal, and they're taking it to a level that just isn't right for a national team manager. But at the same time, I think that, you know, anyone in that position needs to be held accountable for results. And I think, you know, in this mature marketplace, you know, they need to front up to the media and explain themselves. And I think the fact is that Arnie hasn't talked about the results. He did a post-Olympic press conference with probably a load of Channel 7 sycophants and everyone else. And, you know, he hasn't fronted up to the football media. And I think that there are questions that we ourselves, and I'm sure the fans, would like to be addressed. You know, we're not looking to hang him out to dry or anything. It's just asking him a few honest, you know, to make an honest assessment of how he felt the tournament went. And I think that we're in a far harder position, in the sense that we're not like a magazine like Alpha or Inside Sport, who rely on all sports. All we do is football. So we have no hidden agenda to try and screw football up or make trouble, because this is all we do. You know, we are intrinsically linked with the game of football. Football's success is going to help us. But, you know, the other side of the coin is that, you know, it's an issue that fans in the pub and fans at games standing in, you know, sitting in the stands are going to be talking about. And I think if we don't address those, or if we shy away from them because we're scared of the kind of answers or the reaction we might get from the official body, then we might as well just stop here and not bother, because, you know, we've got a responsibility to football fans to, you know, provide them with the stories and issues that are worth talking about.
And apologies for that.
Hi, I'm Simon Hill from Fox Sports, and you're listening to The Near Post.
Thank you, Simon. And apologies for that. That was Paul Hansford from 442 talking about the growth of the 442 magazine, and also I suppose their attempt to find out from Arnie what's going on. Now, Fitzsimmons, you've got some news on the Arnie.
Yeah, I reckon Arnie's, I think he's either signed up or he's going to sign for the new Gold Coast team, apparently. So, I don't know, with the track record, I'm not sure if they should be signing him, but, you know.
See how it goes. He might do better, but I think he might do better at club level. Now, we do have the interview with Gary Phillips. He's the under-17 young, I suppose, the very young Matildas coach. And they played Japan this week, lost 4-3. And Gary's also going to be the coach of the Newcastle Jets W League team. So he's got a dual role, and he's pretty excited about it. And this time, we're hoping that we're going to find out what Gary had to say.
Yeah, but I don't think the result was something that we were ever going to be worried about, Eamon. It was obviously an opportunity for me to see some of our players against international competition. And I guess playing against girls that were probably giving away 1 or 2 years, it was a pleasing performance. We hope to have a couple more camps before our Asian Cup pre-qualifiers are in November. We have a group consisting of Myanmar, Thailand, Philippines, Singapore, ourselves. I think I've covered everyone.
For some of our listeners, Gary, who, you know, obviously in any group of players, there's a couple that do particularly well at any stage. Is there a couple that you would like to just mention?
Well, it's always difficult to single out players when collectively we did so well. Unfortunately, I can't mention any ACT players because they weren't in. Emily Van Egmond and Nicola Bolger were solid in the middle of the park. Tara Andrews did quite well up front, being isolated as much as she was in the formation we were playing. But the defence did quite well also. All the back four were solid, and we defended very well, and our counter-attack today was outstanding. So while it's difficult to mention a few, I was pleased overall, and even with the substitutes when they come on as well.
Now, the Women's League is about to start, or in at the end of October, and you're obviously the coach of the Newcastle Jets. It's a very exciting time for women's football. What's the mood like of the girls that you're dealing with?
It's an exciting time. The game seems to be moving very quickly, and obviously all the franchises, all the A-League women's clubs are looking forward to the opportunity to show, you know, that that's just as exciting and entertaining as the men's competition. Obviously, our captain, Cheryl Salisbury, who is the Matildas captain, and and you know, her presence and I guess her ability on the park is second to none still in this country, and I'm just glad that she's going to be part of the Newcastle Jets team. And we've got three or four Matildas players that play with Newcastle, that reside in Newcastle, and I'm looking forward to getting those numbers around them and to helping them out, and I'm sure we'll be competitive come the start of the season.
Sound like you will be, Gary. Would you expect to have any players from outside of Newcastle, or would they be mainly based from Newcastle?
Eamon, there's always that possibility. I'd like to actually have a few more younger girls in my team. Maybe a bit biased with my under-17 position with the national team, but I expect to have a couple of them from outside. Whether they're outside the state or outside the country, we'll just have to wait and see. But certainly there's always that possibility, and I think it's important that even every franchise has maybe one or two players that can come in and bring something special to the league. If we're going to make it entertaining and exciting, particularly if it's going to be on television, we need to provide the spectators with players that they're prepared to watch and that will excite them and bring.
And
soccer.
That was Gary Phillips, coach of the under-17 team and also of the Newcastle Jets. Camera listeners, stay with us. We've got Martin Zygmunt from Woden Valley coming up in the Capital Football half hour. Now we've got a little bit more football to talk, of course, nationally. This week's games for us, who have we got coming up in the A-League?
Friday night at the Telstra Dome, Melbourne Victory against the Newcastle Jets. Saturday evening at Hindmarsh Stadium, Adelaide United versus Wellington Phoenix. And the doubleheader on Sunday, Sydney Football Stadium at 3 o'clock, Sydney FC versus Perth Glory. And at Suncorp Stadium at 5, Queensland Roar against the Central Coast Mariners.
Okay, the first game, I guess the biggest game we're going to look at is the Melbourne-Newcastle game. We haven't focused on these two teams yet this season. Newcastle Jets, of course, the champions. Had a reasonable start. Two draws.
Yep.
The Melbourne Victory, a dodgy draw in Sydney when they probably should have won if he only had played his cards right. And they thrashed wobbly Wellington, useless Wellington, whatever you want to call them. They're bottom of the table already, and I'm firmly predicting that they will
stay there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Ricky Herbert, what are you doing? But anyway, they're supposed to have improved as well. What do we think about Melbourne, first of all?
Well, I think the way they played on the weekend, they showed that they've got a lot of attacking options.
Against Wellington.
Wellington got to the final of the preseason, so...
Yeah, but Perth did the year before, I think, and it doesn't really
finish. Yeah, yeah.
Well, but you're right; they do have a lot of attacking, and they showed that against Sydney as well. They did. They're an exciting team.
They couldn't
team.
Score, but they were creating the chances.
I'm excited to watch Ernie's team this season.
Oh, for the attacking.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've got a lot of players. Like the Lopez is not an attacker, but he's got you know, he breaks up the play nicely. Mm. They've got Archie to come back. They've got Nicky Ward to come back. So they've got depth. Like Sydney, they've got some depth, and also Ney Fabiano is looking good for me. Danny Allsop, Ross, I know you're a big fan of Danny.
I just like his finishing. When he gets in, he always looks comfortable. I know he didn't start that way when he started the A-League, but he seems to have come into his own a bit and scored a fair few goals. I mean, he's the sort of target man, I think, that they need. They always look, I think they always look a more threatening side when he plays.
What about Michael Thwaites? Do you think he's added anything to them?
Well, I think he's done well. I think he every now and then he comes up with a rush challenge, but other than that, I think he's good to have in the Melbourne team.
Yeah, you'd certainly expect him to be a higher standard than perhaps Danny Vasilevsky or Stephen Pace. So, I mean, as a first, you know, first cab on there, he should go okay.
Definitely, shouldn't he? Definitely.
Lee Broxham doesn't look like he's going to get much game time.
No, but it's hard to say whether he's actually his performance hasn't been that great.
No, and Lopez probably playing the same position is probably
and he's doing a great job already.
Some of the pressure off Carlos Hernandez.
Yeah, it looks like that Hernandez can push up a little bit more, they don't have to rely just on him to be able to get that great pass going through as well.
Now, it's not all good with Melbourne. I wouldn't like to think it is, because they brought on Graham Rebner on the weekend, and I don't know whether you saw his first pass. His first pass went about. You did. You obviously both saw it. Yeah. Come on, tell me about his first pass. Where'd it go?
Well,
how far was it?
How far off the player, how far off the field?
It went about 60 metres to the goalkeeper, and I just thought, you know...
He was getting his touch together, I think. Yeah. he's a quality midfielder, I think.
He's a former Man United player, that's why you're saying that, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Quality, I don't know. He's a midfielder.
He's a midfielder, I'm with you, Fitz.
He's got a decent range of passing. I mean, I think Melbourne have got a point to prove this season, definitely, after their performances last year and in the Asian Champions League.
There's no way they can't do worse than last year. I mean, they've got a better squad. They've got Nicky Ward, they've got Grant Bredman, they've got Archie. They're all players that can come in and add, you know, when Archie's not playing, they've shown that they've already got Nathan
Aguilar. They can score goals.
Yeah,
and win.
And it's not dependent on Hernandez and Allsop. So I think he's recruited well, old Ernie.
Yeah, I think so. I think Melbourne's got a best chance to try and finish top as well this year.
And they might play attacking in spite of Ernie.
Well, they need to. They struggled. They didn't replace Fred last year, did they? And that was the main problem.
That's right.
And this year they seem to have, like you said, going forward, their attacking options seem to be almost limitless.
Well, Hernandez is fitter, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, Newcastle Jets are the champions. They got a draw very late on in Perth. 94 minutes gone or something, and a big kick came down. And Jade North.
And it had to be Jade North that comes and scores.
Unbelievable. 3-3. Perth will be killing themselves. But what about Newcastle this season? How do you think they're going to go?
I don't know if they have the same depth that they had last year. I think they've still got the normal. You've got, you know, Joel Griffith up front, but I still think they're still lacking a midfielder.
I think a big loss to them is Stuart Michalik. Joby Wheelhouse played, and notice he got taken off on the weekend after 60 minutes. Now, if he's your main sort of defensive midfielder and he's not playing the whole game, then it tells me that Gary Van Engelen's not happy with him or not happy with that position. That's a crucial position. Kaz Patafta came on. Unlucky Kaz. Every time Kaz comes on, the other team scores. I don't know whether it's like it doesn't. I mean, obviously not his fault. It was Tarik Elrich's fault. But it's just a coincidence. He comes on 10-15 minutes ago, and the other team always seems to get a goal. It's like,
yeah, I think
not good.
Newcastle will struggle to achieve the results they did last year. They'll be lucky to finish, I think, in the top four. But they still have. I think they've got a good back line, which is a good base.
I'd like to see Adam Griffiths actually play that defensive midfield role. I think he could be the one that would actually give them a little bit more. And if he can keep Jade North and maybe bring in Kantorowski, you know, then perhaps they could get a defence out of that and push Adam Griffiths into the middle, and that might give them a bit more stability in front of the back four.
They tend to have an over reliance, obviously, on Joel Griffiths as well. When they do go forward, everything seems to go through him. They do need somebody else to stand up and start.
They do. They've got a new Dutch guy who has been injured, so whether he'll play just behind the front two, he's expected to be back this weekend. And also, Eduardo Zorro hasn't quite stood up yet, but he's doing okay. But he needs to, you know, it's going to take him a little bit longer, it looks like.
Yeah, I think he's still he's young, which is a good thing, but he seems to be strong on the ball and strong as a target man as well. And maybe they need to work around him, so they need to work Joel Griffith around him rather than the other way around.
His finishing needs to improve a bit as well. He gets into some great positions, but then he tends to snatch
it. Okay, very, very quickly, one word, Sydney Perth, winners?
Sydney.
Draw.
Melbourne Newcastle?
Draw.
Queensland Mariners?
Mariners 3-1.
Biased. And Adelaide Wellington?
Adelaide.
Yeah, Adelaide. I'll go
Adelaide,
with that
absolutely.
As well.
Okay, well, wherever you are, if you're out there, Michelle Bertrand and everybody else playing football, if you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first.
Good evening and welcome to Capital Football's Near Post Radio Show. I'm Chris Scottis. It's the 26th of August. Winter is finally, or very nearly, gone. As usual, welcome Russ Gibbs.
Hey, Chris, how are you this week?
Man, I'm well. A bit crooked, but never mind.
That's all good.
It's not going to stop me from coming in, unlike someone else.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm a bit slack.
But, mate, I don't want to stick my neck out of line too far, but I think it's fair to say it's probably one of the warmest evenings I've had coming to the studio in quite a while.
Absolutely. I left the thermal gloves in the car. There was no need for them this evening. It was a pleasant stroll through the city.
17 degrees, I think it was today.
Fantastic. A few weeks' time, we'll be coming in with short sleeves.
Oh, perfect. We'll be able to do a broadcast from outside. You never know.
On the roof or something.
On the roof. We'll find somewhere. Never mind. We're not here to talk about the weather, are we? We are joined by a special guest, an up-and-coming star of the local football community. Big welcome to Martin Zygmunt. Welcome, Martin.
Hello. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, do I have to separate you two guys? We've got a Tuggies boy over here. A Woden Valley guy next to him. You know, the results on the weekend, I don't want you guys kicking each other under the table.
He's a bit bigger than me, so we'll let that one go. I mean, for those of you that didn't know, that Martin got a hat-trick for Woden Valley on the weekend as they gave Tuggerong a bit of a kicking to round off the season. But, yeah, it was well done.
Thank you
very
much.
Through gritted teeth.
I was going to say, you didn't say that earlier, but now that he's sitting next to you, it changes. But never mind, as we usually will do, we'll take a look at the news headlines at the top of the hour. We will have a chat with Martin, and finally we'll take a bit of a look at this weekend's fixtures with the major and minor semi-finals in the Men's Premier League and also the final round of the Women's Premier League.
But until then, if you've got a football story you want to share, please contact the show at media@capitalfootball.com.au. And a big hello to all those people listening to the podcast at the Near Post blog at www.nearpost.blogspot.com. But Russ, I believe you've got some news headlines there.
I certainly do, and we start off with the W League coach. No word on who it is yet. It's been a tough process. Plenty of candidates have applied. Let's hope the right person for the job be selected within the next few days, and we should get an announcement by the end of the week, so we can expect plenty of news to follow with players' signings, and hopefully we'll be able to get the coach in here for a chat.
Indeed, the ball really has to start rolling on this one. It's not long until kickoff, but I think there'll be some very, very good news coming very shortly. So with the coach's announcement, hopefully before the end of the week, then we can go from there.
And the Men's Premier League is coming to its conclusion. All of the top four was announced, finalised on the weekend. Canberra FC, we knew were already there. Canberra Olympic, Belconnen United and O'Connor Knights. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. Staying with the Premier League theme, Canberra City's Premier League squad is seeking expressions of interest for their head coach position for 2009. So if there's any budding coaches out there looking for a new challenge, jump on the Capital Football website for more information under Men's League.
And sticking with top flight football in the ACT, last week was the conclusion of the Men's Premier League season. This week is the conclusion of the Club Pink Premier League. So all the women out there, get out there, support your Premier League teams, and good luck to all those involved. Also, sticking with women's football, Women's Summer Sixes competition is back for another year. The fantastic summer competition caters for all levels, from beginners to experts. For more information, visit the Women's League section of the Capital Football website, with more details on registrations up there online, so please check out the website there.
And it's a big weekend of finals. State League finals start this weekend. Staying in the theme of one of the finals, finalists, Steve Forshaw, the coach at Belconnen United, said that his players receive a $2,000 player sponsorship fund from Smartfix each year, and the players have voted amongst themselves to buy 10 club memberships with the money in the name of the sponsor, and they'll distribute them as prizes within their club. So that's a good gesture from the players at Belconnen United.
That is, that's fantastic. On the Foundation A-League for Canberra Foundation memberships, last time I checked late this afternoon, 574 members. That number continues to grow week from week. Last week we surpassed the 500 mark for the first time. This week it's 574. Next week it could be 650, you never know. But good news, John Stanhope, the Chief Minister of the ACT, has signed on as a Foundation member, just further, I guess, emphasising the ACT government's support for this A-League bid. And we believe that the FFA will have their board meeting this week to ratify the Gold Coast and Townsville bids for 2009. But possibly we can expect maybe a Canberra A-League announcement, who they might expect, who they would like to see. We don't know, but fingers crossed we hear something.
Absolutely. And staying with a bit of local, down the grades a little bit. On August the 30th, Belnorth members will be coming to Gungahlin United FC's Nichols Fields to collect money for Ross Green's cancer treatment. Ross is a Belnorth player with leukemia, and he'll be undergoing a bone marrow transplant in the very near future. Go to the Belnorth or Gungahlin website for more details. Please open your hearts and wallets for what is a very worthwhile cause.
And we had, again, five players taking part in A-League action. Unfortunately, not all five were played. But speaking of good news, both Kofi Danning and Sam Munro have signed Sydney FC contracts, Youth League contracts. That's fantastic for those two boys. That was reported in the Canberra Times earlier this week. And along with Dane Milovanovic and Sam Munro in Japan on tour with the Young Socceroos.
And finally, there's some Capital Football appointments and futsal moves in the building where Chris works. Stephen McIntyre has been appointed as general manager. Pat McCann is appointed assistant technical director of coaching and futsal. David Lee, the futsal league manager, and Nicole Somi is futsal league assistant.
Indeed. So anything futsal from now on will have to go through the Capital Football office. So anything to do with futsal now, whether it's indoor or outdoor versions of the game, it's all done through Football House. So hopefully that makes it easier for everyone.
Hello, I'm Paul O'Con, and you're listening to the Near Post on the Australian Community Radio Network.
But as mentioned, we are joined in the studio by Woden Valley's Marcin Zygmunt. Again, welcome, Marcin.
Thank you.
Mate, your season's, I suppose, just come to an end, but it finished on a high note, didn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. The last round of fixtures, we just played really well and got some good results, and one of the most consistent teams, I think.
Well, I think particularly in the final game of the season, you guys defeated Tuggeranong United 3-0. had a hat-trick in that one.
Yeah, personally, it was a great game, and it's good to beat our Southside rivals. You know, we had a bit of a 1-1 draw beforehand, so it's just good to get another win there.
You guys missed out on the finals by, I think it was only 3 points or a couple of points. Do you wish maybe there is 2 more weeks in the season? I think you guys would be fairly confident of making the top four if there is a 1 or 2 more games.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think just our run just started maybe a little bit too late, so maybe a couple more weeks, then yeah, we could be up there. Yeah, definitely.
Were you and the players a little surprised that you finished fifth on the ladder when some local pundits, and I mean myself, tipped you for the bottom two? And you kind of surprised myself. So was it something conscious within the team, or do you think they just improved as the season went on?
Well, actually, at the beginning of the season, we had a bit of a discussion with the team, and we set some goals about what we want to achieve and how we want to finish. But then it came halfway through the season, and we're rock bottom without a single win. So then the coaches got us together and then sat us down and go, look, you know, these are the goals that we need to achieve. This is what we have to do. And then the team just clicked, I guess, and then we strive to achieve those goals. And I guess kind of a couple of us surprised each other, but we matched pretty well.
And Chris mentioned you missed out on the top four placing by only 3 points.
Yeah, only 3 points, yeah.
What do you think the club needs to do to improve next year to get you into those top four placings and a chance to compete alongside the Canberra Seas and Bell Collins?
I think we've got youth on our side, so that's the main thing. If we keep the team together, then, you know, the boys know each other well and we can continue playing well. But I think the biggest problem with us is we're lacking experience. If we get a few more players, maybe in the midfield or in the defence, then we'll get that experience and we can get those players to dictate the younger ones and get a bit more composure on the field, I guess, yeah.
Chris mentioned you got a hat-trick on the weekend. That was 9 goals for you from the season from central midfield, which is a fairly decent return for a central midfielder. You also had Rockets representation, which we'll talk a little bit about later on. Would you class 2008 as a success for you on a personal level?
Oh, definitely on a personal level, yeah. I achieved a lot of goals, what I wanted to achieve, so definitely, yeah.
And some of the goals I have seen you score this season have been fairly spectacular, and your shooting is renowned as in the league as being fairly accurate. Is it, apart from your shooting, what do you think your strengths are as a player?
Well, I think my passing has always been a strength and my control. Just since I was a little kid, I've always loved to juggle a ball, and I love my passing as well. So I think, yeah, that's probably one of my main strengths.
I mean, your team's improved over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks. Which of your teammates have stood up for you?
Oh, for me personally, in the defence, got a young guy, Jonathan Rees. He's been playing really well and consistently and getting in the tackles. And obviously our keeper, Chris Morrow, he's been pulling off some good saves and keeping us in matches where it's been really tight. And I guess it's got us those wins.
Well, earlier in the season, you had the Rockets representation. On a level for yourself, obviously being selected for the best of the best in Canberra, what does that mean to you?
Oh, for me personally, it's a great achievement. It just shows that I've been playing consistently and I guess my performance have been recognised and get an opportunity to play against a top quality opposition.
And what do you think? Can you describe the experience to the listeners about how different it might have been training with the Rockets to what it might be at Woden Valley?
Oh, definitely training with the Rockets, you just get your players that are just really high class up there, and with the coaching as well, it just really helped me personally. And I guess with a lot of the boys in the team, we've been playing with each other since our youth days. So getting the boys together and having a high standard there, it's just really lifted my game.
Now, you did take on the Central Coast Mariners in that game at Deakin Stadium. You went down 4-0. Scoreline wasn't that much of an influence. It didn't really matter what the scoreline was, but must have been just a fantastic chance to run out with. You mentioned the boys you've played with in the past, but a chance to lace up with those boys again and take on some good quality opposition.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It just shows there's a vast difference between the Canberra League and what you have to be to be a professional. So it's definitely an experience that I'll take to my heart. And it's just, yeah.
Now, it's not the first time you've had an encounter with the Central Coast. I believe you've previously gone up and trained with them.
Yeah, actually, I went last year. Me and another fellow player went up for a few days just for a bit of a training round. And it really surprised me again how intense the training are and how mentally prepared the players are. It was really amazing.
Did you come back to the local league and want to step up your training, and did it inspire you to follow those sort of dreams?
Oh, it did, definitely. Like, since I was younger, I've always actually wanted to play as high as I can get, but gaining that first-hand experience definitely helped me. I came back and was really focused about what I wanted to do and pass on my knowledge as well to the players.
And we're talking to Martin Zygmunt here from Woden Valley. Martin, you just mentioned the Central Coast experience. How did that come about?
I think it started with Woden Valley getting an affiliation with the Central Coast Mariners. They kept in contact last year, and was a proposition to send two or three players over there, just a bit of a training round. And yeah, luckily I was me and a fellow player were selected, and it was a good opportunity to go up there.
And can you describe what the main difference is between the in terms of quality between the setups between the ACT Premier League level and the Mariners? What do you think is the major difference between the two?
Well, I think the major difference is professionalism. Well, in Canberra here, you only train really, you know, two times a week. Over there, it's just consistently every day, and you get your professional coaches that, you know, are really focused on you know, achieving really high goals. Yeah.
Have you had any further experience, contacts with the the Mariners, other than the Rockets game at all since then?
I've had a bit of a chat to Laurie myself, but other than that, no, not really. Yeah.
Who did you go up to the Mariners with?
Oh, it was Cameron Gordon. Yeah.
And was it good going through that experience with someone you've played with before on a regular basis down here?
Oh, definitely. It helps, you know, having someone up there that you know, so, you know, you can talk about your problems and, you know, have a friend with you so you can have a bit of a chat as well.
Now, tell me, Laurie's a pretty nice guy up there, coach and manager of the Central Coast Mariners. Did he go lightly on you boys, or did he whip you guys like the rest of the team?
Oh, at the start, it was really nice. Actually came and picked us up from the hotel, and it was just down to earth, just a normal person. But when it came to trainings, you've got to be out there putting in the effort. If you're slacking off, that's it. He'll let you know.
And do you feel that you held your own?
Well, I thought I did hold my own, but unfortunately I got food poisoning when I was up there. So the first day or so, I was just struggling. But the second day, I tried to push myself as much as I can. And yeah, it's definitely worthwhile.
Did you use the food poisoning as an excuse at all, or did you not tell anyone?
Oh, I used it, of course.
We've talked about it in the last few weeks. Well, a lot in the last weeks about a prospect of a Canberra A League side. Does the prospect of a Canberra A League side excite you as a fan, as well as a player with perhaps eyes on a professional contract with the club?
Oh, it definitely does. It'd be really beneficial for Canberra to have a team, you know, in the A League. There's a lot of young players coming through, but the opportunities are limited. So if we have a team here, you know, it would definitely give those young players a good stepping stone to you know, get into A League and, you know, maybe something abroad later on. And personally, yeah, it's definitely that'll be something that I'll be interested in.
And with that in mind, what are your future goals and ambitions to go as far as you can?
Oh, definitely go as far as I can. I'll keep training hard, and you know, hopefully with a bit of luck, you know, something could, you know, pop up around the corner.
Now, quite incredibly, just talking about Warden Valley again this year, you took the captain's armbands. That must have been quite the experience. Have you been captain before?
Yeah, actually, I've been captain when I was like 16 and 19, so I've had a bit of experience how to be a captain. So it was a good opportunity again to, you know, bring on the captain's armband.
Now, you were in charge of a very, very young side. You're young yourself. We were discussing before, was it awkward or difficult at all to, I guess, at the start of the year, to see yourself as not superior, but the leader? Because you're only 22, and I believe the average age of that team was about 18.8, which is quite incredible for a Premier League side.
Oh, definitely. Well, at the start, I just didn't really hear me. I treated myself as a young player, you know, with the boys, and just joked around, did, you know, normal stuff you would do. But then towards the middle of the season, I had to really step up and then, you know, show my leadership skills and my experience through the Premier League.
And I'm not sure if it's any relation, but I think that's when we saw Warden Valley, I guess, really start to compete on the park. You guys suffered the first 9 games going through without victory.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the second half of the season, what was different? You guys, I believe, won 5 of your last 9 games.
We had a few stern words from the coach, and I had a few words myself, and I think we just decided to click, and it all came together, I guess. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, we mentioned such a young side. Was it difficult at all playing with such a young side when you come up against the likes of, you know, the Belconnens and the Canberra FCs with such quality experience?
Well, I think the main thing was just to not give them too much respect. Like the main thing we personally lacked was the experience. And again, if you had a few more players who were experienced, then, you know, we could kind of control the players and bring them down, get them relaxed. But, you know, being 22, you know, still one of the youngest ones there, but probably actually one of the ones with the most experience. So it became a little bit difficult, but gradually as we progressed, we gained that experience, and it really helped us along.
Now, did you guys at any point think, hold on, we're in a chance here to make the top four?
Yeah, we're actually, towards the last 3 or 4 games, we're looking at the ladder and going, well, you know, if we win, you know, the last 2-3 games and couple of results go our way, then yeah, we do have a chance. And then just came down to the second last game of the season where unfortunately we suffered a bit of a loss, which put us out. But yeah, we were really actually enjoying ourselves and hopefully making the top four.
Well, in that second last game, I believe you guys took on Canberra Olympic, were coming off some pretty impressive results. What did you? How did you go into that match? You knew they came off a 6-0 victory the week before.
Oh, we didn't really focus too much on them. We focused, you know, on how we're playing and how consistently we're playing. And we tried to transfer that towards the game, but I guess on the day we just didn't turn up and, yeah, put a few goals past us.
Is it any coincidence, do you think? We're talking about the upturn in the form that Woden Valley had. Do you think it's any coincidence that it coincided with you coming back from Rockets training? Maybe your confidence flooded through the team a bit?
Oh, I don't think so necessarily, because we had a lot of youth players who were in the youth Rockers as well, so they gained that exposure as well through top coaching, and I guess they transferred, you know, their experience through to Woden, because I think we had about 7 or 8 players that were part of that team. So I think it could have been a combination of those two.
So the big question we really want to ask is, what happens to your football career from here? If there's no 8-league team in Canberra coming through, where do you think you go from here? Is the Rockets, do you think, is that the pinnacle of your level, or do you think there might be chances for you to go elsewhere in terms of other A-League teams?
Well, I think, you know, I've got the youth on my side and I've got the experience, and hopefully maybe something in the A-League or maybe something interstate. But, just for now, I just want to relax after the season and, go from there.
Now, do you play futsal over the summer?
Yeah, I play futsal, definitely.
Now, how do you think futsal benefits your game? Do you find that have you played futsal for a long time?
Yeah, I played it, yeah, for a very long time now.
And do you feel the benefits of futsal when you're playing outdoor football with, you know, the ability to control the ball in small spaces and so on?
Oh, it definitely does, because we got a bit of a long break, 3-4 months off from outdoor, and then just keeping your touch in indoor, you know, the close passing, controlling and shooting, it keeps you sharp and aware, so it definitely benefits.
Now, you're undertaking a bit of a research project. I'm not sure if too many people know about this research project. You're doing this for uni. I'm not too sure many footballers have actually taken the time to do this sort of research, but for uni, what do you mind going and explaining what sort of report you're putting together?
Yeah, well, I'm doing a report into refereeing and finding out the community's perspective towards refereeing, because being a player myself, I've had my bad luck with refereeing decisions and being sent off, or, you know, personal swearing and abuse and stuff, and just doing a research project to find out how the community feels about referees and how the referees view themselves, and hopefully finding strategies to you know, close that gap of perception.
How far are you into this research project?
Oh, it's been going on for a good solid about 3 months, 3-4 months, yeah.
And are you surprised by some of your findings?
Some of the findings are pretty consistent to what I was actually had a suspicion of, but a couple of things are, yeah, surprising me, yeah.
Like what? Do you mind going to them, or are you going to give away your project while doing so?
I can't give away too much.
What course are you doing at uni?
Sports management, yes. It's my final year.
So maybe looking into getting into coaching, or what are you looking to get into afterwards?
I'm looking into getting into the business side of the sporting industry. Hopefully something in football, because football's been my passion. But we'll see how things plan out in the future.
So maybe if not a professional football player, maybe working for a professional team?
Yeah, something like that, definitely, yeah. Maybe somewhere in Europe.
Now, Marcin, thank you very, very much for joining us in the studio. You've thrilled many of us throughout the season. It was very unfortunate you guys didn't make the top four, but hopefully you can retain most of your players and get it back out there next year.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, last week, Russ, we had a Magic 8-Ball segment. Unfortunately, no Magic 8-Ball, so we turned to the fortune cookies.
Yep.
This week, again, no Magic 8-Ball. Again, no Santa Ronaldinho. The Olympics are over.
He's disappointed, I think. They got beat in the semi-final. He's gone for a bit of a sulk.
He has. Now, unfortunately, we don't have fortune cookies either.
Well, I think there was a couple of crumbs in here last week, and the giant rats that inhabit the Griffin Centre, they've come in and nanched it all away, and we've been told that we're not allowed to bring them in, which is disappointing for everybody.
Look, we have to apologise. We may have breached some type of copyright act last week with the song.
Apologies to anybody that we may have offended with that.
we're not sure if we can play the song again, What's your singing like, Martin?
It's terrible.
Terrible, so we won't get Martin to sing the song. Eamon, any good at singing?
I'm fantastic.
Fantastic at singing. Are you going to put your hand up for a bit of a tune?
Absolutely.
Maybe not. We'll rethink of that one. Maybe next week. But anyways, because we don't have a fortune cookie, because we don't have a magic eight ball, Martin, do you mind passing over your hat? We've got a few answers we've sure. put on pieces of paper. We're going to put them in the hat. They're all folded up. Let's mix them around. The third best thing to the Magic 8-Ball. Now, Russ or Martin, do you guys have any questions you need answered this week?
I think Martin must have a question. Any question you like.
Oh, I can't think off the top of my head.
Put him on the spot. Eamon's got something.
I've always got a question. Which one do you want?
Any one you want.
Well, probably one of the best ones you've got.
Okay, Will Woden Valley ever get into the final series?
That's a big question.
That is a very,
that's
big,
a very
question.
Big question. And let's see what the Magic Hat stroke newspaper has to say.
Now,
ask again. Okay, which is good because I brought two out by accident.
If you didn't hear the first time, will a Martin Zegman led Woden Valley ever get into the final series?
I apologise to any Woden Valley people that are listening, but my piece of paper says no.
Oh, no.
So that's it. You might as well give up and go.
It's all over.
It's not good for poor old Woden Valley.
Now, keeping with the theme of, well, not necessarily Canberra theme, but we mentioned before the FFA were going to have their board meeting this week. I suppose one of the questions everyone wants to know is, will Canberra ever get an A-League team? Or if so, will we see a Canberra A-League team in 2010-2011?
Martin, pick one out.
The pressure's on you, obviously. Okay, this is going to decide whether Canberra gets an A-League team.
Yes.
Yes, there it
we
is.
We will get one.
You heard it first. Here on Capital Football's Near Post Radio Show, Canberra will receive an A-League team. Good news for the region.
Excellent. And for all the work that Ivan Slavic has put in and everybody else, it's all going to come down to this moment. And the man sat next to us here.
And it says yes.
He may not have known, but he's just played the biggest part in Canberra's A-League bid. But never mind, we must move on. The show must go on. Time to look at local football and, in particular, the Men's Premier League. We've reached finals time, Russ.
We certainly have. We'll just round up the scores from the last round of the Premier League. Tuggeranong United 0, Woden Valley 3, Martin Zimmer with a hat-trick there. Queanbeyan City and Canberra City shared a six-goal thriller, three apiece at the Riverside. Ned Alexic with two and Mark Walker for Queanbeyan City. Kevin Roon with a brace and David Dexter for Canberra City. But there's the top four sides are in action. Canberra Olympic 4, ANU 1, a hat-trick for Oliver Wiedeker, Robbie Schroeder scoring for Olympic, Chris Isaacson getting one back for ANU. And in the big clash, Canberra FC comfortably seeing off Belconnen 3-0. Alex Castro, 21st goal of the season from Paul Ivanich and Cole Aitken to set up a finals series on the weekend, which kicks off on Sunday with two semi-finals.
It does. First takes on second, so that's going to be Canberra FC taking on Canberra Olympic. That's at Deakin Stadium on Sunday with a 2:30 kickoff. So make sure you're aware that it is a 2:30 kickoff and not your normal 3:00 kickoff. And then over at the Belconnen Soccer Centre at McKellar, it's 3v4. So you'll see Belconnen United taking on the O'Connor Knights. That one's at 2:30 as well. Both those games on Sunday. Russ, what do you make of that?
Well, look, obviously the big one is the minor semi-final between Belco and O'Connor. It's the sudden death for both of those sides. If they lose, they go home. It's going to be a tough clash. Belconnen not coming into it on the back of the best form that they've shown this season, but they should have too much for O'Connor Knights, and I think they'll see Dean Ugrinich's men out of the finals after this weekend. And Canberra FC against Canberra Olympic on Sunday. Canberra FC will be smarting for revenge after Olympic turned them over 3-0 a few weeks ago. You can't look past Canberra FC, particularly on their own patch.
Well, you mentioned the Belconnen United and O'Connor Knights. It's quite interesting. Belconnen haven't defeated O'Connor this year. First time they met, it was a 1-1 draw, and that one was at O'Connor and Close. And the latest one was about 4 weeks ago when O'Connor defeated Belconnen 4-3 at McKellar. So, you know, yes, I think it's fair to say O'Connor's got the wood over Belconnen this year.
It could go either way, and of course O'Connor liking McKellar, they won the Fed Cup there earlier this year against Canberra. So my gut reaction is that if Belconnen can nullify the threat of Goran Veljanovski, then they'll have too much for O'Connor on the weekend.
And then just quickly, in the other one, 1v2, Canberra FC v Canberra Olympic. That one's, as you mentioned, an absolutely fascinating battle. Canberra Olympic the only team to defeat Canberra FC this year?
I think we've said it all season long, that if they can tidy up their back four and keep nice and solid at the back, they do have the attacking potential going forward to score goals and create problems. It'd be a major upset, I think, if Olympic beat them at the first attempt, and if Canberra City didn't make the finals. That's their only slip up all season. Other than that, they look fairly invincible. I'd be surprised if these two teams weren't lining up in the grand final in 2 weeks' time.
Well, you're certainly right in saying that they possess quite the strike force when on their day. 19 goals and one goal conceded in the past four games. Fascinating.
It is. I mean, Scott Barsey's come to the party a little bit for them in recent weeks, scoring a bag full of goals. He had a slow start to the season. But it's not just him. On the weekend, Oliver Wiedegger got a hat-trick. Travis Dries can weigh in with a few. Trent Flanagan, Robbie Schroeder, the list goes on.
If you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.